This is the Mojo, the Meaning of Life and Business podcast, where life and business intersect. Hosted by Jennifer Glass, CEO of Business Growth Strategies International and BGSI Coaching. We are dedicated to your success. Hello and welcome to another episode of Mojo, the Meaning of Life and Business. A lot of times we end up seeing that, you know, kind of looks awfully dark. There's a lot of doom and gloom, but it doesn't mean that everything is over, and it certainly doesn't mean it's the end of your journey. Very often, the story of how we come back from where we were is a real testament to the power of what it is that we can do and where we can go from here. And so on our show today, I have a really great guest who's going to help us really get more of an understanding and go through her own comeback story to help us learn more, see more, and do more after maybe we hit rock bottom. But before I bring her on, let me tell you a little bit about her. Holly Bertone is a certified holistic health coach, motivational speaker, number one Amazon bestselling author, and host of your Comeback Story podcast. Holly's expertise is as a midlife comeback coach for professional women over 40 to help them recover from burnout by ditching the habits and beliefs holding them back so they can have consistent and sustainable energy, weight loss, and vitality without crazy diets, restrictive protocols, and hours in the gym. Holly spent 20 years in consulting and federal government service, primarily at the FBI, where she was a chief of staff. After her own experience of breast cancer, healing herself from an autoimmune disease, and creating a no-conflict divorce, she combines the principles of performance and mindset to coach successful women who are burned out to unleash their comeback story for their health, lives, and careers. Welcome, Holly.
Thank you so much, Jennifer, for having me on the show. I'm excited to be here and connect with your listeners.
Absolutely. Thank you. So, Holly, first of all, let me ask you, what is a no-conflict divorce?
That is one. That's actually a really good question. I don't think I've ever been asked that before. I think what happens so often when we get divorced, there's a lot of anger and there's a lot of you did this to me and a lot of resentment. And the divorce comes from that place and kind of probably what we're going to get into today. The divorce comes from that place of all of these colorful emotions that come up. And what I did actually was to take personal responsibility the very first thing. So rather than, you know, doing what most people do and blame my spouse on the demise of everything, I took personal responsibility. And that helped me to really get rid of the blame, the shame, and all of those colorful emotions that came up. And really what I did was say, this is my responsibility. This is I'm at cause versus I'm at effect. And this is what I can do moving forward. And what that did was allow me to be in that space to not get triggered, it was still a divorce, it was still emotional, but it wasn't the crazy emotional roller coaster spikes. And we actually, it was very civil, no conflict. We agreed on everything within a matter of days. We're not best friends or anything like that, but still have a very, civil relationship. And, proof. And it was great because I got to use my own framework that, I used to heal myself and I used to coach and I teach, and I got to use it again. And it worked perfectly going through the divorce. I was like, it's really proof that, the framework, it's for your entire, your health, life, and career. Like it's everything in your life can be traced back to, doing it this way. So, yeah.
Really interesting, because I spent 4 years in court in my divorce. So it definitely wasn't one of those no conflict ones.
Yeah.
My attorney asked me at one point, she's like, are you sure you're okay? Because you are so not emotional right now. And I was just like trying to deal with it all and everything. But I wanted to go back for a second. Is this like the conscious uncoupling, like Gwyneth Paltrow and God, I'm blanking on his name, the front man from Coldplay, you know, they were married. Was that that conscious uncoupling that they did, kind of like that same idea?
I'm not sure. I don't really follow a lot of celebrities, so I'm not sure what they did. It just got to a point where we're like, it's done. It's over.
Okay.
Yeah.
So great. Thank you. So let me go back to something that was in your bio. So, I mean, you had 20 years of government experience with the FBI, being a chief of staff and everything. And then you made the transition out of that because of a whole bunch of different life events that were going on. Can you walk us through what kind of was going on? I mean, I'm assuming the divorce was one of those things, and maybe the breast cancer and the autoimmune disease. But how was all of that, you know, how did that happen? How did you end up ultimately falling down that rabbit hole and needing to pull yourself out?
Yeah. So what had happened, the divorce was actually fairly recent. It was in 2022. But this was all back. It started in 2010 when I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I went through the traditional surgery, chemo, radiation. And then a year later was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, which then turned into years of debilitating chronic fatigue. And at the time, I was the chief of staff at the FBI, had this literally dream career. I mean, it was a dream come true since I was 17. I wanted to do this. So what had happened was my health just got so bad. I mean, I had hit rock bottom over and over again as an overachiever, you know, hitting rock bottom three times, because, you know, can't do it once or twice. Got to hit rock bottom, you know, three times, overachiever. But yeah. And what had happened was I was actually so sick that they pretty much forced me to resign. And that was probably the worst of everything that I had been through to date, was that point. Because what had happened was everything, like my entire identity was based around being a successful career woman. And at that point, a wife and a stepmother. And everything had been stripped from me. And it took years to figure it out. But what was going on was that all of my validation was from those labels and from those external sources. And I didn't realize that that validation should come within. Again, this is, you know, took years to get there. And there was one point where I was in such bad shape. I mean, I could barely get out of bed. I could barely function. And it was like, I just felt like a failure. Like I literally can't do anything, and therefore I have no value. And it wasn't like there was some big epiphany or a light coming out of the sky or someone said something so brilliant. I'm like, oh my goodness, I have to change my life. I just woke up one day and I was like, you know what? I'm not okay with my life like this. And I'm not okay with living the rest of my life like this. And that's when I started to try to figure out, how do I get out of this hole? And I tried everything and nothing worked. I mean, it would move the needle a little bit and then come back, and then move the needle a little bit and come back. And so, you know, it's so many people, I think, when we want to do the thing, you know, whether it's business, our you know, our career, our business, our health, our lives, we start from the doing. We start from just tell me what to do and I'm going to do it. Like, I'm in so much pain. I'm at this rock bottom. Just tell me what to do. I'll be the A+ student and I'll just get out of here. And I realized that that's not always the case. That's not always how it works. And how I realized, like, we can be maybe successful in our careers, but our love life sucks, or we can be successful in our love life, but our health sucks, you know, and all of these things, like, we are a whole person. And realizing that it's not about the doing, it's about what I like to call the you-ing. It's about coming back to you. And that took me a very long journey to figure out.
Wow. I mean, that was quite the story, how you went from being at the top of your game at the FBI, like you said, from a dream from when you were 17, to having to step aside, relearn everything, redo everything, kind of go through it all and all of that. First of all, I'm glad that you are a survivor of a whole lot of pieces. And I mean, that just gives testimony unto who you are. And like you said, overachiever, 3 times hitting rock bottom. You know, let's hope it's not a 4th time, but at least if it is, you know how to dig yourself out.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I will add to that though is I know when I get down, and it's really funny because my nutritionist, my good friend and nutritionist, she tells me, she says, Jen, you're the energizer bunny. And you keep going, going, going. And eventually when your batteries run out, you crash, and I crash and burn in a really big fashion. And then I end up really down there and all of that. And I know that that's just who I am and how that works. But, and I don't know, Holly, if you are a Disney fan or not, but I know for me and certainly for some of our listeners, you may also, in Frozen 2, I think it was, there was a line where Anna was stuck at the bottom of the cliff, or, you know, down in the pit. And she says, you know, have to do the next right thing. Just take another step and another step and another step. And eventually you find your way out of where you are. And it's amazing how that becomes my anthem.
Yeah.
As I'm down there, it's just, all right, this is what you have to do. Just again, put 1 foot in front of the other and kind of go there. But that's not necessarily how you manage to dig yourself out. So I want to ask you, how did you manage to dig yourself out other than just foot after foot, like you said, or what I said, but yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's so true. I actually haven't seen Frozen, but, you know, it is so true. I mean, it's one step at a time. And I think what we do is, you know, we think that journey is supposed to be linear, and it never is. There's always the obstacles and the setbacks. And, you know, for me, my mother had this life mantra. She always said it builds fortitude. And that helped me, you know, that phrase became my mantra and helped me to get, you know, to take those steps when I was down, and, you know, to continue on, to build that mental strength. And, you know, for me, it's, you know, my husband at the time was supportive, but I didn't have a big support system. And back then I didn't have a lot of the knowledge that I do today about, you know, health and how our bodies work and how our bodies heal and everything like that. So it was literally just waking up every single day and saying, I'm not okay with this, and I'm going to do everything that I can to figure out how to make myself better. And, you know, and it really, it took years because I didn't know how to do it. I was trying to figure it out for myself, and I realized there's a much better way to do this.
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, it builds fortitude, and that's a big thing. You know, another saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Same kind of idea. But when you're going through everything, how do you get the mindset to just do that? I mean, when you're down there at rock bottom, and you're not sure exactly when rock bottom is. I remember going back to the story of my divorce. One of my really good girlfriends, she was telling me, Jen, at some point, you know, karma is going to be your new best friend. And I kept on asking when, you know, because I got one motion after another one, after another one, after another one, the whole trial and everything that I went through, you know, in the actual divorce, it was just so much that was happening. And so I kept on asking when, and it seemed like I never knew where the bottom was, because there were always additional layers that I was, you know, heading down. So my question though is to you, and you're not a trained therapist in the sense of, you know, like psychology or whatever, but you do have your certified holistic therapy. But my question though is, when you're in that position, how do you have the mindset? How do you start to say, all right, here's where I am. I need to take stock of it. I need to internalize what's happening, but then start clawing my way out. Like, how do you even start getting there?
Yeah, that is such a great question, Jennifer. And this is actually, I have a Rocky inspired framework because I love the 80s movies and the montages. And I came up with this Rocky inspired framework. And to answer your question, it's R and O. So we'll go through the first two. And really the first one is the rearview mirror. And what I see so often is that we're in this ditch and we're in this dark place and we see this future that we want to have. But what happens is that we're trying to get to our future from our current place, and our future becomes what we feed it. So if we're feeding our future from a place of anxiety and fear and resentment and blame and shame and, you know, all the colorful emotions, that's what's going to be on our journey to get to that next level. And what happens is that it puts us in what I like to call the suffer cycle, because we let these things basically take over, right? When something happens and we can be in the middle of it, and it could be something small, like we could be, you know, customer service call gone wrong or get stuck in traffic. And all of a sudden we just get triggered and we're like, what is going on? And then what happens, you pick up the phone and you call your best friend and you go through all the events and it just, you continue to ruminate over it. And that's what I see over and over again, is like this rumination, and it builds and it grows. And it's not just one thing. We think that stress is like a song on, you know, Spotify or Apple or, you know, whatever. It's a song. It's not, it's a concert. And the stress becomes this concert. And when you come home from a concert, you get the absolute worst night's sleep ever, because, you know, you've got the adrenaline going through your body and the epinephrine, and, you know, you were, you know, dancing and having fun and probably having a few drinks and up late and, you know, and all this stuff. And that's what your body thinks when you're going through these events, that you're at this concert. So it's on constant alert. And then you're creating this future state from this place of being on this high alert. So the very first thing that I like to do is to look, which is called R, is to look in the rearview mirror, is to go back and find and make that peace and forgiveness with the people who potentially put you into the situation, with the events that potentially put you into the situation, and most importantly, forgiving yourself. And I think self-forgiveness is so much harder than forgiving others, and to be in that place. And that's really where that peace starts, is being able to forgive others and to forgive yourself. And that sets us up for the O, which is what I like to call own your ship, with a P, like a boat. And that's what I talked about at the very beginning, was that responsibility. And for me, the responsibility throughout everything has been the hardest thing to do, is to look at myself in the mirror and say, okay, I might not be, you know, it may have been something else that got me here. It may have been me, but I need to look in the mirror right now and say, okay, what can I do from this point on? And go back and say, okay, how can I make things different? How, like, what got me here is not going to get me there. So what got me to this place? What were the actions? What did I do to get me to this place? And then how can I do things differently going forward? And those two together combined, when you can make those shifts, they are your new superpower, because then that sets you up to start the doing. We always want to start with, like, what do I need to do to get from point A to point B? What do I need to do to get me out of the situation? And I always like to say, it's you got to go backwards and get right with your past and get right with yourself before you can go forwards. And then when you're in that place, you're in such a better place to go forward, to make those steps, those one step at a time, And, you know, you've got the real quick autonomic nervous system. You've got your sympathetic stress state, which is, you know, typically what we're at when we're kind of at that rock bottom or, you know, going through the things and, you know, turning it on to the parasympathetic peace state. And when we're in that parasympathetic state, our brain is a lot clearer to make logic decisions. So we're not making decisions based on, you know, kind of that anxiety and the cloudy head and, you know, the triggered emotions. We're making decisions based on a clear mind. We're able to, you know, play chess. We're able to look several moves ahead and say, okay, how do I want this to play out? And to be able to have that clear mind. And like I said, that's what happens. You get those two right, you make peace with yourself and make peace with your past. It's not saying everything is smooth sailing, but it gives you a much stronger foundation to move forward.
So one of the questions that I'm curious about is, you know, some people are more prone to falling prey to hitting rock bottom, to getting depressed. I mean, anxiety, depression, imposter syndrome, a lot of these different pieces are all mixed in with hitting rock bottom. And then other people seem to get by, and it's like, you wonder, what am I doing differently than what they're doing? Do you have any thoughts to why certain people are more prone to experiencing this kind of feeling?
Yeah. And I think I touched on a little bit, and I'll go even deeper, is that, you know, we look at it from this place of, you know, kind of the woe is me, and, you know, looking at it from that suffer cycle of replaying these events over and over again, and to be able to, you know, let go. But I think what happens is that, and I can't speak for the men, but I can speak for the women, is that so often when we're young, we're told we're either the smart one, the pretty one, or the good for nothing one. And I'm not saying that these stories are the end all be all, but these stories help set the framework for that internal versus external validation as we get older. And then what happens is that when we're in our 20s and early 30s, we're like, okay, what's next? I either go to college or I don't, but my next thing is I'm supposed to find a career. I'm supposed to be successful in a career. And then I'm supposed to get married, have 2.5 kids and a white picket fence and a pug. Shout out if anyone has a pug. I have a pug. So we're told, like, society just kind of ingrains this in us that this is what happiness looks like. And we look at that from that external validation. So, you know, we're chasing the career, you know, and we're chasing the spouse and we're chasing the kids and we're chasing this quote unquote perfect life, which is never perfect. And then what happens is that when we get most all of the pieces, these pieces then are the external validation to tell us how worthy we are. And these pieces now own us and they start pulling us apart. And that's why I love doing what I do, because growing up when I was like 10 years old, I would take 3 different 1,000-piece puzzles, dump them on a table, mix them up and put them back together. It's exactly what I did at the FBI. It's exactly what I do as a coach. Like it's, we have these disparate pieces of ourselves and they're all vying for our attention. You know, we've got our career, we've got our business and, you know, we're building and we're scaling and, you know, we've got staff and, you know, making money and all the things. And, you know, we've got a spouse that's like, why isn't dinner ready? You know, all the things. And then we've got the kids like, you know, mom, you know, and then, you know, the dog's doing the pee-pee dance. And by the time you sit down at the end of the night, like it's the first time that you even had a chance all day to breathe. And the second you sit down on that couch and put the blanket up, and then, you know, the spouse is like, hey, hon, I need, you know, or the kid's like, mom, or, you know, you jump on your phone just because you want to just chill out and watch Netflix and just scroll on social media. and an email pops up that you need to take care of. I mean, it's like, and it never ends. And you're like, and then you still go and do the thing and you have literally like nothing left in you. Your gas tank is totally empty. And this is how we live our lives. And these disparate pieces that are supposed to be our happiness, they have now pulled us completely away from ourselves. And that's why I like to talk about the comeback story. My program's called the Back to You Method. Like, it's coming back to you and figuring out, okay, this is me. This is what makes me happy. This is having that internal validation. And when you can come back to you, you can then give of your truest, most authentic, most aligned self to the various pieces of your life. And what happens is that life is always going to happen. Like, there, it's not smooth sailing. Every single day, like, we need to be prepared every single day for something to happen. I mean, I'm not a pessimist, but like, it's going to happen. You're going to have, you know, customer service, traffic, tech issues, rainy day. You know, someone's going to have a late meeting, you know, kids forgot their homework, like, it, you name it, it's going to happen. And it's called life. And what happens is that we base our happiness of our day around, did I get through the thing? And then the obstacles come and the obstacles throw us off. And then what happens is that we do emotional eating. I mean, I know you're working with a nutritionist, and you know, I first one right here to raise my hand, right? It's just what we do, it's what we're programmed to do. And then, and it's the cycle, and it's the cycle, it's the cycle. So that's hopefully that helped to answer your question of, you know, why we kind of, some people kind of go down that hole and some people don't. And I think so many of us just unintentionally, it's the frog in the boiling water. We just get pulled so far away from us. We don't even know where to begin when the day starts.
I'm curious to know though, do you think that things are worse today because of social media? I mean, growing up, you look at the magazines, you look at Barbie, you look at everything, and you're taught this is what you're supposed to look like, right? These are the proportions. You're not supposed to have anything outside of that. You look at all the models in the magazine. You look at everything that, again, we're of a certain age that you and I are in the same place, but you know, today it's a little bit different. And thank God campaigns like Dove are really doing a lot of good for, you know, girls now. But do you think those social media though is making it harder? And again, you know, that's a different story where Dove is not able to make as much of a difference. And by the way, Dove, you want to sponsor, reach out. But in terms though of looking at social media and bringing us down, because we look at what everyone else is doing. And I mean, you said you don't follow a lot of celebrities, but some of your friends, I mean, they're posting stuff. I've got a couple of friends that, I mean, they're posting things all the time. I have one friend who got to ring the bell at the New York Stock Exchange along with Sally Krawcheck a couple of weeks ago. And so it was a pretty big deal. I mean, you know, get to ring the bell at the New York Stock Exchange. I mean, how many people get to do that? And you look at where you are then and you're like, well, if she's doing that, why can't I? And so we kind of then start measuring ourselves against them. But do you think though that all of that, in addition, like you said, life happens, but do you think that is having a hand in all of the snowballs becoming that avalanche to knock us down?
Yeah, absolutely. Couple directions I want to go with this, and such a great question, Jennifer. Absolutely, 100% agree. Between social media and the news, we're just getting bombarded. And, you know, and here's the thing. Okay. So you're listening to this podcast, you're listening to this interview, and I have a very direct question to ask you. Can you sit down at the end of the night, turn on TV, whether that's regular TV or Netflix or Hulu or whatever, and within a minute of turning that show on, do you grab your phone to scroll on social media, or do you actually just sit there and watch the show? Now I'm asking, if you're listening to that, just think about that. And that's what we're programmed to do. We're just programmed to constantly receive this information. and we receive this information, we don't have space to come up with our own ideas, our own thoughts. We're just being fed with everything. In fact, I actually had a conversation last night, one of my good friends, and I was talking about with the women in my program. And I was like, you know, I said, one thing that I tell them when they join, and I said, you know, I always hear friends who, you know, if they join a program or, you know, whatever, and it's almost like the coach becomes the guru. And it's like, well, you know, so-and-so told me to do this, and so-and-so told me to do that. And it's always this other person that's telling you to do the thing. And what happens is that there's no bifurcation between their ideas and your ideas, right? Like, we need to have our own thoughts and ideas. And because we're getting bombarded, we don't have that space to create our own thoughts and ideas. That's one of the first things I say when students join my program is like, do not call me that guru. I was like, this is a chance. This is a space for you to create, for me to ask some powerful questions, but for you to create your own space and your own ideas and what you really want. It's not about what I want. And I think that's what we see all of the time is the A side of what everyone else is doing and what everyone else wants. And that's just one more thing that's pulling us away from what we really want. And again, back to the validation, we're like, oh, well, you know, I'm not worthy, or I'm not valued, or I'm not respected, or I'm not heard because they're doing X, Y, and Z. Or you can view it as, well, if they're doing it, I can do it too. And another piece of this is, and this was years ago, I had a friend who, and this was the very first time my eyes were open to this. I will never forget this. I've never looked at social media the same way. Is that the night before she posted something on Facebook, happy family kind of post. And she came in the next day, she came into work, was in tears because the relationship was just at that point being shattered. And I have never looked at social media the same way since after that. And I felt genuinely bad for her, but it's almost like, you know, we have to put this A side out there, you know, to show how perfect everything is. And we do, like, we want people to celebrate us and we want to, you know, show how awesome things are or whatever. But as consumers of that information, you have to understand that, like, that's that person's journey, and what they might be posting might be different than what's going on behind the scenes. And I think, you know, and you know, you talked about Dove, and I was at a place where, and this was years ago before I got sick, I weighed 110 pounds, had a 6-pack of abs. I raced mountain bikes and Xterra triathlons. I'd stand on a podium, I'd get a medal around my neck. And I thought that because I was thin and I was healthy, or I'm sorry, I thought that I was, because I was thin and that I was athletic, that I was healthy. And I'm not saying if you're thin and athletic, you're not healthy, or you are healthy. What I'm saying is that they're not mutually exclusive. Like, one does not depend on the other. And the fact of the matter was that I was eating ultra processed food 99% of my day. And I didn't have hardly any whole real foods in my diet. And, you know, a lot of emotional factors, a lot of stress, like just living this adrenaline junkie kind of life. I mean, and I could give you probably 50 things that contributed to me getting sick. But I know that a diet of 6 cans of Coca-Cola a day and pizza and pasta and French fries and ice cream and, you know, M&Ms and, you know, all of the stuff, I did not eat food with real ingredients. And I knew that that was a big piece of it. So, you know, here I am today, 15 pounds heavier than, you know, what people would probably look at me back then and say, oh, wow, she's healthy because, you know, she's thin and athletic. Whereas today, it's all about the balance and eating food that's going to nourish me, not eating a lot of chemicals, you know, getting daily movement in, connecting with, you know, with God, with nature, with friends, having that inner peace, having that inner regulation, having that stillness, having sound sleep, all of these things And that's why, like, being a holistic health coach, people are like, what's a holistic health coach? Like, it's looking at the body from a holistic perspective. There's so many different components about us, and then having purpose. And that's another big piece of it too. So, you know, and I actually posted several times recently on Instagram, you know, it's like, true health is not the number between our two big toes. True health is all of those factors that I just talked about. And I think that, you know, social media can distract us from that. I think social media can distract us from that message. And I think social media can distract us from actually going out and making our lives happen.
Amen. One thing I wanted to follow up on is I wanted to go back. You've got the Rocky framework that you work with, and you mentioned the rearview mirror and owning your shit with the P. My question is, what is the CKY in the Rocky method to help us if we're stuck and we need to get out of it?
Oh my goodness. I'm so glad you brought that back up. So the C is create your future self. And this is when I talked about, it's, you know, we need to go backwards before we go forwards. This is when the go happens. This is when, you know, the goal setting and creating that vision and the visualizations and the manifesting and all of the fun stuff and creating your future self from a more empowered state and from a more aligned state. And then K is keep the vision, not the view. And we talked about a little bit about this earlier, like life gets lifey. Life is always going to happen. Every single day is going to bring you something. So we can either view those obstacles as a way to distract us, as a way to derail us, or we can just view that as a part of life. And I don't want to say necessarily ignore them, but not let them get to us, not let them trigger us, not let them, you know, not let our day spiral because of them. You know, so you wake up and it's raining. You're like, oh, gee, I guess I'm not going to go running outside. So I guess that's done. So you know what? I'm not going to eat a healthy breakfast. You know what? I'm just going to start work an hour late because I'm already getting a late start. Like all of this stuff, right? And then, you know, there's a meeting, you know, or maybe a sales call goes bad or something like that. Well, oh, the day is ruined, you know, and we let these things dictate our happiness. We let these things dictate our present moment. And when we can detach from that to keep the vision and not let those daily setbacks affect us, that's when the magic starts to happen. And then the why is really just coming back home to you. And I was talking about the 80s movie montage and watching the 80s movies and the montage. And we can even think about like the Wizard of Oz, right? And, you know, the character goes on this journey and, you know, and especially like, you know, think of the 80s movies, like Jennifer Beals, and she's pulling up her leg warmers and, you know, Rocky's running on the beach and, you know, and they go through this journey. And at the end of the montage, 3 minutes later, I mean, life is a lot longer than 3 minutes later, but you know, in the movie, it's 3 minutes and, you know, and they come out on the other side and they're ready to face their challenge. And it doesn't matter if they win or lose because they've already become that person inside of them. The original Rocky movie, 1976, Rocky lost the fight against Apollo Creed. I don't think anyone would call Rocky a failure. Right? Because he won the journey. He was able to rise to become who he wanted to become. And he went 15 rounds with Apollo Creed, which had never been done before. And that's what this coming back to you is all about, is coming back home to you, realizing I have it inside of me all along. And it's just a matter of getting rid of the noise and letting myself come back home to my true and authentic self, to find my voice again, to feel valued because it's within, to, you know, to have that confidence and that sparkle back. And that's what coming back to you is really all about.
Thank you. So definitely looking at how Rocky in that 3 minute montage, like you said, of course, it's a little bit longer in real life, but
just a little bit.
Yes. Knowing how the story ultimately is going to be playing out, knowing that there's that future, like you said, creating that future you, basically, in terms of where you want to be and all of that. So that's really important advice. And just in terms of keeping that in mind as you are moving through whatever kind of rock bottom area you're in, to keep that in mind. But Holly, what I wanted to ask you is people have been listening to our conversation for the last 40 or so minutes, and they're really interested in getting more information. How can they reach out?
Oh my goodness, I'm so glad you asked it. Yeah, absolutely. If you're listening to this podcast, I actually have a free private podcast, and it's called Your Comeback Experience. And we take a deep dive. There's 5 episodes, and we take a deep dive into the Rocky framework so that you can have everything that you need to create your comeback experience. And you can get that at podcastholly.com. And if you forget, it's podcastholly.com. Like, what was that URL? And what was that podcast Holly was talking about? And that's exactly it. It's podcastholly.com. And you can download the free private podcast and create your own comeback experience with the Rocky framework. And the other place I hang out is Instagram at holly.bertone, B-E-R-T-O-N-E. And my Instagram account last year had its own comeback experience. And I shut down my old account with like 20 some thousand followers and started a brand new account. So it's small enough now to say hello, and I answer all my DMs personally. So
thank you. And, you know, one of the questions that I like asking my guests is, what do you define success as?
You know, I've heard this question asked before, like other people ask the question. And the one word that really sticks out is integrity, and it's doing what you say you're going to do. I mean, we can look at success from all of this external validation and all of the shiny objects and say, you know, if I get this, then I'll be happy, or if I do this, then I'll be successful. But that's basing our success on the being conditional. And I really like to look at it again, kind of going back to you and looking at success from that place of integrity. I did what I said I was going to do. I gave it my best. And you know, it's not just the trying, it's also the doing. It's showing up and giving your best. If your best that day is 10% and you gave 10%, you gave your best that day.
Thank you. I have to say that's the first time I've gotten that answer, and I love it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Yes. So in wrapping up, definitely go to podcastholly.com so that you can check Holly out, look at Holly on IG as well, so that you can be following her and making sure that you can remain in Holly's orbit. I'm sure that knowing Holly is going to be really good for you as you are going through your own journey in life. There's a lot that we have in our ups and downs. There's all over the place. Like Holly was saying, life happens. You never know what's going to happen. The day of this recording, there's been already, you woke up this morning and there's a terrible, terrible news event that happened overnight where a major bridge collapsed because a boat hit into it. And, you know, many things happen. Hoping that the people that were on the bridge are ultimately going to be saved. Don't know anything more about that yet. But again, life happens. There's a lot that we can lose, a lot that you don't see where it's going to happen. Things are there. It's important, though, if you are in that point of being down, think about what Holly said. And if you still need additional help, and if you're here in the United States, 988 is the number to call or text if you are in crisis. Just keep that in mind. 24/7 available. I have to just mention that 988, because again, it is something that is so important to so many people. Holly, thank you so much for being my guest on the show today.
Thank you so much, Jennifer, for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you. And again, you're going to thank yourself again for checking out podcastholly.com so that you can make sure that you are knowing everything, going through those episodes that Holly has on the private podcast so that you can get the information that you can use and you can be helping your friends as well when they are at rock bottom. On that note, this has been another episode of Mojo, the Meaning of Life and Business. And until next time, here's to your success.
This has been another episode of Mojo, the Meaning of Life and Business podcast. If you like what you heard, please consider leaving us a review, liking us, or reaching out to us. You can contact us at bgsicoaching.com and let us know what you think. Thanks so much again for listening.